All right. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Man, I certainly feel the energy and the love in this room today, and so good to be with my brothers again. I'm super excited to be here the next couple of Tuesdays to share with you what God put on my heart. But let me also say to everybody in this room, man, it's really, really, really a blessing to see men. I even sense even a stronger presence of eagerness and desire to grow in the Lord. So continue to let that be your posture for the rest of your days.
Yeah,
seeking God and trying to be the best son that you can be. Right. All right. So and again, thank you, James, for the opportunity to be here today. So I believe God gave me something that is very important in the season I'm walking in regards to the ministry on Simcoe. And so this kingdom strategy. So I oftentimes pray that God let me be right in your will, and let me understand what you're asking of me to do in the earth. I count it as a privilege to do the Father's will in the earth.
Amen.
My prayer is continually, Lord, use me for your will in the earth. It keeps me off of me, and it keeps my mind and my heart submitted to him. So as I was preparing this message for the next two Tuesdays and even shared it Sunday, I want to talk about this very talented visionary by the name of Nehemiah. Okay. And so we're going to look at Nehemiah chapter 1, and we're going to start over at verse 3. And then we're going to kind of, I want to give kind of a little backdrop of Nehemiah's decision to do a God thing in his community. All right. So Nehemiah 3, let me get my little tablet here. Nehemiah chapter 1 and starting at verse 3. Okay. So he received a word from his brothers, his friends. He said, they said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the providence are in great trouble and disgrace. The walls of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. Okay. So now we see Nehemiah's dilemma in this situation. And in Nehemiah 1, chapter 1, verse 11, we see Nehemiah's prayer. He says, after the news he heard, O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this servant and the prayer of your servant who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. What man? This man, the king man. Okay, so let me kind of give you a little backdrop here. I want to kind of take you through a quick Bible history of Nehemiah's life so you can respect the content today. All right. We're not starting the movie in the middle of the movie. Right. I'm giving you the previews today. Amen. And all the credits today. So I am happy to be here today. So I get a little loud, not because I'm an angry black man. I'm just saying I'm just passionate. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. So so here is Nehemiah in the book of Nehemiah, the history. He was working for a king, and for the king, he was a cupbearer. So his job was to, before the king would drink of anything, Nehemiah would taste that drink to make sure that drink didn't have any poison in it. So he would often give the cup to Nehemiah. He would drink it and look at to see if he was going to die. If he was fine, he would pass the wine or the cup over to the king. Nehemiah had a high paying, very important job. You cannot work for the king and not be important. And the Bible says that this man earned favor with the king. But he also, working a secular job, he received spiritual news. Okay? While serving the king secular, here came his brothers concerning his community that was in ruins. The wall was torn down. They were coming out of the captivity from the war between Babylon, and the people were scattered across the nation. And Nehemiah had to make a decision based upon the news he heard. So you heard Nehemiah's dilemma, and then you see now Nehemiah's prayer. So one thing that I grasped from that particular text was that anytime there's the dilemma, it also often calls us to have prayer.
Amen.
So the Bible kind of walks us through Nehemiah's history as a cupbearer. Amen. And then it talks about Nehemiah's dilemma in the palace. Okay, here I am at work going about my day, living my life. And here come God interrupt me with something going on. So because he cared about his people, his community, the culture that was in chaos, the culture that was collapsing, he said, am I going to just enjoy my life working for the king and just enjoy my blessings in this high position? But the Bible says that in Nehemiah, it broke his heart and he wept over the news of his community. Now, gentlemen, can I tell you today that this history of Nehemiah and his dilemma told us a lot about what was on his heart. Oftentimes, the thing that breaks our heart doesn't necessarily break God's heart. But then there are some things in our heart that breaks our heart, that breaks God's heart, that we share similar passions about. Nehemiah, in his essence, was saying, I need to make a decision, either to live in comfort or go do something that is covenant. OK, so in this book, I want you to read it before chapter one, before I come back next week. Yeah. You also see his prayer, what we talked about. And how he prayed to the Lord. He said, Lord, let my ear be attentive. Let you be attentive to my prayer, your servant. I fear you. Grant me great success. So now he was stuck with a decision to go and talk to the king about the problem that was on his heart. So the first thing he did was he talked to the great king before he talked to his boss king. All right. He talked to the king before talking to the king. And his prayer was, grant me favor in the sight of this great man. So now that he went, he prayed, he went and talked to the king. And then now the king, when he was on a normal work day, 9 to 5, he showed up on the job, y'all. And that was something different about Nehemiah. His heart was broken. Why? My people, the walls, the culture, the economy, family units, all broken down. This is a serious problem.
Yes.
Okay. So when we look at today's time, all around us, gentlemen, we have a culture that's in chaos. We have a world that's in trials and tests and error. We have two agendas battling here. One liberal, one more conservative. One can't find God. I can't leave that alone. All right. Okay. All right. So we have it going on all around us, right? We don't have to look in the White House. We can look here in our house, in our community, to see that there's crime, there's poverty, there's violence, there's selfishness, there's self-indulgence. There's the Christian church who is now very fat and very, very blessed with prosperities, but don't have a dilemma in their heart that God wants to share with them.
Amen.
So Nehemiah talked to God. Then he went before the king, and the king said, what's wrong with you? You know me on the job, happy, smiling. You happy to be here. Because of a broken heart, his countenance fell in the presence of his peers. So the king says, why are you sad, Nehemiah? And Nehemiah said, the city that I come from is in ruins. For 150 years, nothing was blessed there. Nothing is growing there. Nothing is getting better there. Well, Pastor, why is that important to you? Well, I pastored a church in the midst of 3 nightclubs, one closed down on Simcoe. According to the narratives, nothing is growing there. Businesses are leaving and closing down. Families are leaving there and moving around. There's crime, poverty. There's a community in chaos. There's a cultural collapse. Well, that's not a dominance of God's presence in the area because of the narrative of the era. So as I was in prayer, I said, God, well, this is my dilemma because I chose it to be my dilemma. It's not technically my problem, but I made it my problem because I care about what God cares about.
Yes.
Amen. So am I going to be blessed and enjoy golf and enjoy success and enjoy the convenience of Christianity and prosperity and preaching in big churches? Or am I going to posture myself to do something that is kingdom, that's outside of convenient, and do something different? This is what God is asking the church. You're blessed. You're favored. You're talented. You look good. You smell good. You're eating good. You're driving well. Got money in the bank. All right. You're a man. You bless. I'm blessed. All right. Does that anything that breaks your heart? So the decision was, am I going to leave this job? So the Bible says that he talked to the king, and the king asked the question, what can I do for you? It speaks of Nehemiah's character on the job, of how he'd done a wonderful job for the king. And the king was happy with him. Therefore, the king blessed him because of his hard work on the job. He found favor not because he was just a praying man. He had character on the job. Did you catch that?
Yes.
All right. And because he done a well in the secular realm, it granted him favor in the spiritual realm. Can I say this, gentlemen, that some of us are blessed in the secular realm to do great work in businesses and great work in community and own things and run things. And you know, we call shots in our lives. And because of that, God gives us favor and influence, and he grants us with great resources and abilities and talents. All that is for his glory and is for his kingdom building, not for us to get all we can and can all we get.
Yeah.
Can I get amen?
Yeah.
Okay. God didn't bless you so you can say, look at me. Look what I got. Ford F-50, baby. All right. And I ain't hating on the Ford, y'all. I mean, in case you go, Pastor, you're seeing my Ford this morning. I ain't seeing your truck. I'm talking about. All right. This understanding is that he had a dilemma. He prayed a prayer. He was forced with a decision. Am I going to stay here? Or am I going to do something about the problem in my community? Well, he expressed to the king. The king said, I don't want you here. You're sad. You ain't going to do us no good.
Yeah.
Your productivity is going to go down. I need you to go and help your city. So the king says, Nehemiah, you have my blessing. Not only my blessing, Pastor, I'm praying for you. Here's my credit card. Here's a letter. You go back home and you rebuild the wall. Okay? Now, the Bible says Nehemiah received this letter, this favor, and he said on his journey, if anybody stops you, tell them, show them this letter that the king is behind you. Are you catching the parallel?
Yeah, that's good.
And then we see Nehemiah's history, his dilemma, his prayer, his decision. We also see his favor. Now we get to see Nehemiah's strategy. Okay? All right. So now, in Nehemiah chapter 2, we find that Nehemiah begins to move from his position to get into his community. But I want to put this down for a minute, and I want to talk about a couple of things before we build even further. And this message to me first on the call of God on my life and the assignment of God on my life and how do I know what God is calling me to do? This is what happened. I got saved. I joined a church, you know, joined a men's group. Great stuff. I'm a part of the choir. I can sing. Parking lot. I can cook a little bit. Cooking committee. Security, working security. All right. I help the church invest or make decisions. I'm a carpenter by trade, and I bring all of my talents to God's house, which is amazing. Thank you for that. But then there's an assignment outside of God's house that leaves the walls of God's house of comfortable prosperity, Western culture. Yeah. Let me grow the church as fat as it can be, and let me gloat about the members of the church while leaving the walls torn down in our community.
Yeah.
So the decision in this century, the time we're living in now, when there's conflict on every area, when there's division, when there's speculations of a government takeover, when there's concern about money collapsing and concern about wars and concern about social issues and racial issues and economical issues and inflation and this APR, this percentage, all these things are a distraction to what we should be doing in the earth. Now, Nehemiah was a businessman. He worked for the king. He had a secular job, but he also had kingdom influence. So the goal is in my life is to understand what God called me to do and use that influence for his glory. But I don't just keep it in the house. I take it out the house. And I find the dilemma in my community or in my family. Whew, and I talk to a God to help me solve a problem only God can solve.
Amen. That's good.
So the goal is, gentlemen, is to find a way to be excited and passionate about bringing change to your community outside of your religion or religious practice. Yeah. Yeah. So when I talk to men who have the ability to be more than just religious men, but men with power, influence, authority, and favor, we can shake the city up.
Amen.
All right. So how do I, Pastor, go from where I am just getting fat in church? Okay, hear me. Yeah, okay. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you gain a little weight. You a little wide on the outside. All right. What do you mean, Pastor DK? Well, I'm glad you didn't ask. In the Western culture, what do we have, gentlemen? I feel the Holy Spirit. We got good eating, good preaching. We got good singing. Yes, we do. Oh, we got great churches. Oh, that's amazing. We have all of this building, which is amazing. But the penetration of the city, of a desolate people who cry out, while we advance this agenda. A ministry is not determined by how well it can go up, but how well it can reach low.
That's good.
So what are we doing? Here is God arresting his servant Nehemiah. Why am I hearing this message? Maybe God is getting ready to arrest some of you to say, maybe I may not jump in this thing with blindfolds on. Maybe I should pray for a kingdom strategy for my people. Who is my people? Everybody you see. My people is not black people. My brother is not my brother from another mother. My people is everybody that I see around me. And if I see a problem, I don't leave it for somebody else to do it. I make sure that I am being responsible over what God has given me to solve a problem in the earth. All right. Why I talk about his job? It's important to understand, Adam, when you work for the king, you have king privileges. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I would just imagine, Eddie, that, man, when the king eating lobster and eating, got maids and got the king is, when you work for, you protected, you in the sovereign providence of greatness. And it's easy to say, man, this is good right here. Why should I leave and go try to do a work with a people who scattered? Okay. Go a little further here in history. God told the Israelites, if you are faithful to me, I'm going to hold you with my right hand. I'm going to be there for you. But if you disobey me, I'm going to scatter you across the land. Okay. When Nehemiah prayed deeper in chapter 1, it talked about how God said, Nehemiah, if you're faithful, I'm going to restore the people and I'm going to gather them and bring them back into the land in which I promised them to be in. Okay. I like it. So maybe the world, the community, the culture stays in chaos until the man of God comes to the realization of his God-given assignment in the earth. And it's not just to preach a sermon. It's not just to be in a church. It's not just to be at a Bible studies. It's to understand God has given me a mandate and a mission and a vision to accomplish what he wants in the earth.
Yeah.
Okay, Pastor DK, hold on a second. Hold on. Now you spit on me when you're talking. Hold on. All right. Let me tell you what's going down. It is what wakes me up in the morning as a man of God, as a man of faith, not a religious man, Pastor Kelly, it's religion. Religious. You insult me with that comment. I have a relationship with the Father. He speaks to me. I talk to him. He gives me permission to do things on his behalf. He shares his passions with me. He wakes me up to go out and get it for him and not for myself. It changes the psychological understanding of why he saved me in the first place.
Amen.
The notion, gentlemen, that we can't wait to get to heaven tells us that we are lazy Christians, ain't doing nothing in the earth. Wait a minute, Pastor DK. Wait a minute, Pastor DK. Wait a minute. You mean I shouldn't have a great anticipation for heaven? Absolutely. While you working here on earth.
Yes.
It's the notion that we can't wait to, I just, come get me, Lord, it's hard. please come, God. There's going to be a war. There's going to be a civil war. Come, Jesus. Could you just come? And Jesus said, wait a minute, I'm already here. Where am I? I'm in you. And I'm able to do through you what I desire in the earth. This notion is that we're waiting for God to do everything while we do nothing in the earth has spalled and caused the kingdom to now be stifled and muzzled because men wait for preachers to do what they're called to do in their own community. So if you don't ever come bring me water, I dig a well myself. Come on, y'all get that? Got that? All right. So this is a trip because Nehemiah now, it's a trip because he had to take on a community that's in ruins. Let me paint the picture for you. When there's no walls, there's no protection. In the Old Testament, cities thrived when they had great walls. Great walls kept the enemy out. And when the wall was torn down, anybody can infiltrate that community and take their goods, rape their daughters, steal their live crop. But when a city had a great wall, it meant that economics and developments and families can develop and grow. Where's the wall torn down, gentlemen? The wall is torn down in the spiritual realm while we're looking in the natural realm.
Yeah.
As you see on the side of town that I pastor, there's no walls there. Help me, DK. Okay. And the reason why there's no walls and why there's more debt and more high school dropouts and why there's more STDs and why there's more kids who can't read and why there's more criminal activity, because the wall is torn down. So what do I do? Do I listen to Fox? Do I listen to Fox News, CNN? Do I listen to KATC? Do I listen to TV10? They are lying narratives about the truth. Is it my reality? Nehemiah's reality was, it's been 150 years. Maybe nothing can be done. It's been this way for 150 years. Wait a minute. I've been in this addiction for 40 years. I've watched generational curses be passed down for 300 years. We're dealing with everything from the psychological, mental state of slavery to banking system with redlining. Everything from improper dispersion of tax dollars to businesses closing down to jobs moving to the other side of town. What am I saying? It is the reality of what it is in the natural realm. But in the spiritual realm, God is waiting for a man, not one man, the man in the earth, to begin to breed on areas that many folks has written off. This is my reality here. This is what I accepted of the Lord. Don't feel, PDK, I feel sorry for you. No, don't feel sorry for me. It is an honor to take on that conflict in that community, in that chaos, because I'm trying to do something for God because he gave me a letter.
That's good.
And I got favor with that king and have favor with these kings. And because of that favor, we can get something done in the community. That is bigger than one church. That is bigger than one belief. It is a people that cry out, come and help me. Come and save me. I'm dying here. I'm sitting in the parking lot of our learning center yesterday. And I pulled my phone out. I was just in prayer. And I watched this lady who walked across. Walked across the street. Lady carrying a baby with five kids that walked across the street. I'm sitting in my van. And I begin to weep in my van as she took her kids to McDonald's and ordered off the dollar menu, take her kids and walk to the prostitute hotel where drug dealers, predators all hang out. I'm in comfortable AC. I'll leave that side of town to stay on the other side of town. And I ask myself the question in my own conviction, what are you doing? And I begin to weep within my heart, because I know when Jesus showed up into that city, the Bible says they were rejoicing to see him while he was crying.
Right. He wept.
They were happy to see their Savior. He wept because they was lost and scattered.
That's right.
Yeah. This is the church. Yeah. He's, Lord, I can't wait to see you. He's crying. I don't feel the same way you feel about me, because you misunderstand the reason why I am here in the earth.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, we are here in the earth. We are blessed in the earth. We are called in the earth to do something great for God outside of our religious posture or our belief. It is to bring heaven down on earth. It is to produce what Jesus prayed, let thy will be done in heaven as it is on earth. It is the mission that God has called us to do. It is our Nehemiah project. It is our desire to say, I'm going to do more today than I did yesterday. It is our purpose. It is our goal to wake up and say, I got to solve the problems in my community.
Where you live.
Now, let me shift here, because I'm tired of y'all and y'all tired of me. When Nehemiah got the letter, he got the credit card. He came to his city and he gathered with every person around him. And he began to release. The Bible says he inspected the wall. He looked to see where the wall was torn down at. It's hard to find a problem when you're not looking for the problem. We say, as long as it don't happen to me, as long as they can keep that over there. Don't bring that over here. I'm fine over here. Don't come over here, y'all. I'm telling you, I ain't that safe. You know what I'm talking about? Have y'all been there? I wish I had some real dudes, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't bring that over. Don't do that. Listen, I just started saying. Nehemiah gathered the leaders of each community. And he didn't tell them to go build on Simcoe. He said, build right in front of you. And each one of them in chapter 2 started working the assignment in their front yard. And the Bible goes on and it talks about all of the men and what they built. They all had a responsibility on their side of the vineyard to build portions of the wall, of the wall, of the wall right in front of them. Now, you hear my passion today. And I am one who is eagerly looking forward to getting to heaven. But I have more focus on what I can do while I'm here on earth.
Amen.
How many souls can I reach? Can I be a better husband today than I was yesterday?
Amen.
Can I raise my kids better? Can I help the local church advance? Can I be about the big church, not just the church I belong to? Can I help push God's purpose in the earth? Can I be a solution to a problem? And the answer is yes, you can. In this Western culture, we have left everything up to the priests and the prophets and to the preachers, and we forsake our assignment while eating at the buffet table.
Yeah.
Preach to me, Pastor. Sing to me, Pastor. This is my church. Look what we're doing. What are you doing to advance God's kingdom, God's purpose, to bring God's promises? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, today I'm going to send a man to you that's going to get you excited about doing something different, because God is waiting on something different. He's waiting for you to give him a yes, for you to make a decision, for you to leave your secular post and be more spiritual than you are anything else. Yeah. He's waiting for you to make a decision, waiting for you to pray and talk to him about the dilemma that you're in, yeah, the dilemma that the world is in, the dilemma that's all around you, and stop just complaining about it. Here's what Christians do. We complain about how dark it is, how dark it is, how bad it is, how bad it is. Well, could you please put the light on then?
Yeah. Turn the light on.
He says, Joe, we are salt and light in the earth. So we meet again next Tuesday. And you say, I ain't coming back because DK gonna holler at me. It's cool. I'm with that. I'm gonna find you on Facebook and yell at you. send your friends request and yell at you. Right?
I know where you live.
Amen. I didn't come here for this morning. I wanted something nice and pleasant, some pleasant teaching today, some principles. No, I'm going to activate you in the Holy Ghost, yeah, until you do something for God, yeah, and stretch you and push you, yeah, and challenge you until people around you are getting saved, your communities and your companies is all now have the essence of God's growth because you said yes in your decision today, yeah, to accept your project, yeah, to accept your dilemma. For you not to turn a blind eye to it. For you not to just say, I'm just going to pray about that. You know what? You pray too much.
Yeah, you're laughing. You're right.
Oh, brother, I'm going to pray for you, brother. No, I need some bread. I need some fish. I need some meat.
Yeah.
I need some medicine. I'm naked here. Give me a shirt.
Yeah.
I'm going to pray for you, brother. Oh, I'm going to call such and so. I'm going to call to pray for you. No, you on the phone with me. Pray for me right now.
That's
good. Man. So, James, I hope you invite me back after these next 2 weeks.
You got to finish the wall.
Finish the wall. I close with this, gentlemen. We see Nehemiah's history. Cupbearer working for the king. We see Nehemiah's dilemma. What's his dilemma? His community was in ruins. His people were scattered. We see Nehemiah's prayer, talking to God about a problem that only God can solve. We see Nehemiah's decision to leave his secular job to take on his kingdom job. Don't leave here and quit your job after this message. At least get a letter. All right? Okay? We see Nehemiah's favor. The king says, I know you ain't got enough, but I do. You know how encouraged I am right now to tackle the area that I'm pastoring in now? When the Lord says, you ain't got enough, but I do. That's not just in resources, gentlemen. We may not think we have enough talent, enough words, enough charisma, enough anointing, but it's not your anointing. It's not your power. It's his power in you.
Yes.
It's his favor on your life. It's his glory. It's his purpose. You do got enough.
Yes.
If you look in your own strength, you don't have enough, but in his strength, it's plenty.
Yes.
And we see Nehemiah's favor. And now next week we talk about Nehemiah's strategy and how he got every man in their prospective communities to start building the wall. Is there more devil on Simcoe than there is in Youngsville?
No.
Is there more devil in River Ranch, more devil in New Iberia, in Simcoe that is? No, it's the same devil. We got to just know what the dilemma is, what the problem is. We got to open up our spiritual eyes and say, this is what I can do. And let me give you a little insight. God does things seemingly in three generations. The enemy doesn't have any new ideas. He just mocks what God does. He wants to attack our generation of kids and children for three generations back. This is why he started with the petting and grooming of the LGBT community, of getting kids to start reading gay books while men dressed as women read to them. This is why they start releasing a spirit of perversion upon the land where, you know, you can change your pronoun. You can be transgender. This is why he started, because he has a three generation window to just try to destroy the promises of God. If I can stop you from reproducing, if I can make you perverted in your flesh, and if I can take away your rights to pray, and if I can tear down the walls of your country. I'm going to infiltrate this country with so much anti-God that you when you look up, it's going to be too late.
Yeah, you're right.
What if President Trump is a true deterrent of God's grace of holding back the full scale, the onslaught of the enemy? We can be so political that we don't see spiritual.
Yeah.
By the way, gentlemen, it's not an endorsement to some candidate. We are more biblical than we are political.
Yeah. Who is God?
So I pray today that you are stirred in some type of way to look at your dilemmas, not only personal, but what's out in front of you. And what part of the wall are you going to start building?
Yeah.
And allow the Holy Spirit to tell you where there's work that needs to be done. Come on, stand on your feet. Amen. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. Y'all too kindly. We're going to pray here. Gentlemen, we're going to pray. Father, we thank you now. Holy Spirit, I'm not sure what every person heard in this room, but I pray they heard you, your desire, your passion for the lost souls, the broken community and culture. I pray that each man will begin to mount up their own hearts and run the race that is set before them. I pray that it's no longer sit on the sideline and wait for somebody else to do. But God, put us in the game. I pray that we would have a desire and a passion to see your will done in the earth. It's not coincidence you're hearing this message today, because God is raising up men to take the leadership role to bring his kingdom forward. Today, Lord, I pray for these fine men. These great men today, you call them great, God, despite of their situations in life. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would begin to fill them with a passion and a desire, clarity, purpose. Give it to them today, God, that when they leave this place on this Tuesday morning, they're asking the question, Lord, what can I do for you? Lord, we love you today. We honor you. We give you all the glory for what's about to happen in history.
Yes.
We need heaven to invade our space now.
Yes.
So we can produce the will of God in the earth. God, we love you today. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love you, gentlemen.